Don't go back to Acts 16 again. And we're going to look at a few things that we've been looking at in 15 and 16 of Acts. And we realize and we understand that Paul, and he changes partner now. Paul is not with Barnabas anymore, but Paul is with Silas on this trip. And part of the trip was on land, and part of the trip was on land and then at sea, because these folks were having to go across the Mediterranean into the Black Sea because they were getting awfully close to Asia. And so Paul had, he had never, Paul had never been on European soil before. He had always been in the land of the Israelites, and what God had given Abraham to give to his people, Paul had been there and had not left that part of the world until the 12th verse of Acts 16. Okay, now he had just had a vision. Paul had had a vision at night. And he saw somebody, he said, from Macedonia. And my question was, well, if you're looking and you see a vision and you see somebody from a foreign country that you've never been to, how did you know he was from Macedonia? And but evidently the Lord showed him enough about this person, or he thought it was, and it could have been, Luke the doctor. But we've had verses of scripture going on in the past two or three chapters of the book of Acts that had medical terms in it. So did he know Luke before then? Before the 16th chapter? Or did God show it to him? So we don't really have the answer to that question, but I'm just saying this to make a point that sometimes we don't get the whole story in one place. Very seldom ever do. When we look at scripture, we got to go somewhere else to find some of the answers to this thing. And so, you know, now when they get from Troas, they're going to get in a boat or a ship, and they're going to ride on over to the Aegean Isles, and they're still going to be hindered a little bit because they had been hindered to go into Asia. For some reason, the Holy Spirit didn't want them to do that. And Paul, at this time, had, I think he has a pretty good entourage of people. It's like, kind of like you think about a band group that was together, and what one done, they all done, you know. And so this was how this thing was laid out. So I'm going to read you verse 10 and 11, and then we'll start in 12. And this is where Luke shows up, because he says we. And the book of Acts was written by Luke, and the book of Luke was written by Luke. But guess what? Most of what Luke got early on in his dealings with the Lord and the problems there were told to him by Titus. And Titus was one of the last seven books it was written, but it was written by Paul to Titus's. Titus was a servant to Titus's owner. And Paul told him in the book of Titus, said, now, if this man owes you anything, you let me know. You send me a bill for him. But now he said, he is a servant of God. And so what Dr. Luke saw to begin with had to come probably before his conversion into this understanding as he did. And also the fact that, you know, when Paul got stoned in Derby, the stoning that happens with the Israelites there, when the Israelites stone somebody, they start out with small stones and hit you with all these stones and get you down. And once they get you down, then they get the big stone, crush your head in.
Yeah, it was,
and so that's what happened to Paul. And this is some years now after he was struck blind on the Damascus Road. And his eyesight wasn't good anyway. But now he's got some kind of, evidently some kind of, maybe some kind of disfiguration into his face that maybe Dr. Luke can help him with. Because when we get to the end of 2 Timothy, when Paul realizes his time is up, and he's telling young Timothy, bring me my coat, bring me my parchment, bring me my lawyer, bring me all this stuff. And he says, only Luke is with me, his doctor. Oh, isn't God great that he can send you a doctor?
Amen.
So you see, these things happen, and it's not just by happenstance. God has a plan. And if you don't believe it, I'll tell you in a couple of verses down that he does have a plan. And it's a Hebrewism. It's something that the Hebrew people or the Jewish people talk about. And I'll just go ahead and tell you now. One of these verses says, and it come to pass. That means that God's got his hand on it some way or another. And it's not going to happen until God says it's going to happen.
Amen.
Let me read you 10 and 11 of 16. It says, and after he had seen the vision, talking about what he's seen at night, he said, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had told us for to preach the gospel unto them. So Paul here includes himself for the first time in the book of Acts. And then in verse 11 it says this, therefore. So he's told us all this for us to realize that now he is with Paul. Dr. Luke is with Paul in these things. And he says, we endeavored. So he has included himself in the holy writ of God. And he says then in verse 11, therefore, okay, what's therefore, therefore? Why is therefore in the scripture? We need to stop, look at it, study it, listen for God's direction, and carry on with that. He says, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. And the next day, Neapolis. So here we have them in a ship, loosening from one place in the Aegean Sea and going to another place. And it says, and from thence or from there, and this is our study for tonight, it says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And it says there, and, but you can leave the and out, a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Okay, so verse 12 says this. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And it says to read the note on 16:12. Okay, when we look down at the note, we see this. Talking about loosening. Loosening, it means up anchor. Okay? From one place and going to another place, and he said they came or ran direct. And that's euthahuduomio. It says only here in 21:1, we literally ran before the wind. Summa Rothakia. And there is another note there that says this. The highest elevation in the northern Aegean islands, midway between Troas and Philippi. And it says next to Neapolis. And it says the harbor of Philippi, the distance is about 10 miles away. And then also there's another note here that says the first European soil trodden by the Apostle Paul. First time he had set foot on a foreign soil was here in the 12th verse. And he says they were there certain days. And it had taken 2 days with a favorable wind to make 10 miles. Oh, and then... That doesn't seem like they were doing much. Maybe they didn't weigh anchor good enough. Maybe they were dragging anchor with them as they went. But here we are. And so this is where we start. This is verse 12. And this tells about their journeys for a while, and it's going to go to verse 40. If we're able to hang with it. Okay. And so they were there certain days. You don't say how many days. But it's going to be a little while. And it says, and. So verse 13 starts with and. So they're not done with the story in any stretch of the imagination. And on the Sabbath, and this is not just Friday night, Saturday night. It is the first of the Sabbath days. Because there's a time in there that they have what they call Sabbath, the Sabbath times of the Sabbath. And it's generally a 2 or 3 week period of time. I can't remember exactly the situation on that. But it said, on the Sabbath we went out. I'm going to read it to you out of the King James. We went out of the city by a riverside where prayers was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Okay, so let's break this down a bit. He said that on the Sabbath, literally, on the first day of the Sabbath, generally speaking, and we went out of the city, and that out of there is the Greek, and it's exo. It is the Greek word exo, meaning without or outside of the city. Gate, outside the city gates by a river side. And that's another great word, means para, and that means beside or near the river, where prayer was. So these people went out there, a prayer service. They went first day of the Sabbath and went out there and were having prayer. Now the river was the Ganges River, if you want to know the name of the river. It was the Ganges River, well known to Luke, it says. Now, I don't know how well known it was to Luke, that, and I don't know how they come by this. But, it says, we reckon prayer to be there, and that's what they were there for. And we sat down and spake unto the women they were there for prayer, and that Greek word is prosuke. I can remember that one. Which resorted thither or had come together for the purpose of prayer. That's 13. So they literally left the city Philippi in its of itself and went outside of the gates of the city and evidently it comes to my mind that they didn't want to get into anything real desperate because on their first journey out, everywhere they went, it seemed like they ran into snags and had these problems. Well, they're going to have it again. Guess what? We're going to look at 14. And it says, and a certain woman named Lydda, Lydia, I don't know how that, really how that's pronounced.
Lydia.
Yeah. Lydia. A seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of. And I'll put by Paul there, of Paul. Okay, so they've got a young lady in this group that God opened her heart. So this is, he's in this new land now, and then now he's fixing to get his first convert. So it didn't take very long in the prayer service, evidently. And some of the things that Paul had said maybe before, that she became a believer. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. So they worshiped God. They heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Okay, let me break that down a little bit. Certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. Okay. You know, purple seems to be a big thing around Easter time, isn't it? Has a designation, I think, of somebody that's of God.
Royalty, yeah.
Okay. Where do they get this guy to do this? This is what I really love about this. It gives you a lot of stuff that you don't really
just sit down and say, okay, well, how do we answer all these questions? But here we go. Lydia, seller of purple. Here's the Greek. Porphu rep olis. Perforeth olis. That's where it comes from. You know what it is? It's a celebrated purple dye that is made of extracted, I guess they cook it, I don't know, from the murex, M-I-U-R-E-X, murex, a sailfish. Near or at the city of Tythera, this was on the Sea of Lycus in Lydia. So, they take these shellfish, probably cook them, and get this purple out of the shellfish, and they use that for dye to dye the purple cloth. And it may not, these little shellfish may not be from just anywhere. It may be a pretty special place that they come from. And it says this was on the Sea of Lycus, L-Y-C-U-S, in Lydda. And it was well known in the area by the Guild of Dyers at Tythera. So, these people that were dyers and using this dye, they know where they could go and get it. And they know they could get it and use it and make money. It says one, and talking about Lydia, which worshiped God, or a person, no doubt, that God had chosen or called. And they heard us, as Paul says, and that lays a full stop on that. And it also says in the notes, and I'll read the rest of the notes that was in the Companion Bible, it said, whose heart the Lord opened effectually. And in the Greek word is dianoago. It says that she attended unto the things, or became involved of the things which were spoken of by the Apostle Paul. So not only did she become someone that believed God, but then she started acting upon the things she had heard. Well, guess what she done? Verse 15. And verse 15 says, and when she was baptized, oh, baptism again, the cleansing, the washing,
and her household.
And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, and this us there includes Luke still. From this time on, you'll see the us quite a little bit. Say, if you have judged me to be faithful unto the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. It was like, it was, just didn't say, if you want to, y'all come in.
She's insistent. Yeah.
Come in.
Mine is yours now. That's the way God works when he chooses somebody and sets them up to do certain things for his cause. Okay. When she was baptized and her household. So, her whole household, Lydia. And it says, she besought us, and that word there is parakaleo, saying, if you have judged, and that word judge there is the word krino in the Greek, if you have judged me to be faithful, the word there is pistos, to the Lord. Come into my house and abide. And that Greek word is the word meno, and abide there. And it said, and she constrained in the word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce that one, but the word constrain is in that part of the world, it means to be hindered in the area of Asia and around in that area there. And it says she hindered us. And so Paul and Silas' first convert is an Asiatic. There. It's like when Paul went out and he met Timothy. And Timothy became one of his first converters. And he looked at Timothy as his son. Now, I don't know how he looked upon Lydia, but evidently, they kind of hit it off here. And then we get to this verse of scripture that says, and it came to pass. Well, this is a Hebraism, and it means by the will of God, or in one sense, it means the correct time. It was on God's standard time, and it was God's will that it came to pass. As we went to prayer, okay, seems like everything's going pretty good right now, right? No problems.
Yep.
They went out and had a little prayer deal out by the river. Nothing big going on there. And this lady got become a believer, so much so that she got baptized and invited them to her house, and her whole household got baptized. And she invited them in and said, okay, you stay with me. I'll keep you. I'll feed you. Whatever you need, I got. In that sense. And so whenever they went to prayer, it says, a certain damsel, we don't know the name, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And this is another full stop. But here we're talking about the war that goes on between Satan's people, or Satan's imps, and God's angels. Okay, so here's the problem. We've run up on another problem. How am I doing on time, Ron?
9:06, you're good.
Okay. So, it says,
we went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Well, what's wrong with that? Quite a bit. Now, the will of God at the correct time the trouble came. It says, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, and that's Patty Dasty, possessed with a spirit. And if you go to appendix 101, number 2, or Roman numeral 2, and look at number 12, and that's on page 146 in the appendices, and it says, a demon's or evil spirit being. And we're going to look at the note here in verse 16. On verse 16, it says, a damsel possessed with or having the spirit of divination. And that is the word, the Greek word puthon. And this is where we get our word python from.
Spirits.
Yeah. The spirit of the snake. It says, only here, the text reads, a spirit of python. The python was a serpent destroyed, according to Greek mythology, by Apollo, who was hence called Pythias. And the priestess at the famous temple of Delphi was called the Pythoness. Through her, the oracle was delivered. See an instance of the oracle utterance in Pember's Earth, Earliest Stages, chapter 12. The term python became equivalent to a soothsaying demon, as in the case of the slave girl who had an evil spirit as control. So her spirit, you know, her handlers could have some control over. It said she would be nowadays called a medium. The Lord's commission to Mark 16 was to cast out demons in Mark 16:17. To say that the girl was a ventriloquist who was disconcerted and so lose her powers shows what shifts are resorted to in order to get rid of the supernatural. And then it goes on to the masters and the owners. And this word is curios, and that's appendix 98, Roman numeral 6, IA4. And it talks about gain, or in the Greek,
they were her pimps. So to say.
Huh?
They were her pimps.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And she was doing the work for them, and hence they were earning
money off
their living by her.
Yeah.
By wages or pay. Only here in verse 19. In Ephesians 4, 19 talks about soothsaying or fortune telling. And I didn't write all this down. I'm just reading it out of the notes here. In the Septuagint use, it's called false prophets. And Deuteronomy and 1 Samuel. And so that's what they were up against. All this that we just read, they were up against this thing. But the fact is, and when you get to the verse 17, then Paul is going to get on to her about following them and telling what's going on here, because he doesn't want that. And the way that you can tell that a person that has a spirit, a demonic spirit or something, that when they lose it, it's done by the will of God, and she can't get it back. But what she says, that these are the men of God, but she represents them as being of Zeus and not of God, the creator of the world.
Yeah, hers is a more of a degradatory. It's degrading.
Yeah, it's a degrading.
Not uplifting the God.
Type of God, yeah. And so that's how you can tell whether or not the demon or the demonic situation there is the ventriloquist spirit and, if you want to put it, a fortune teller, basically, is that they can't control. They can control the girl who has the spirit, but she can't do any more of these things that she's been doing other than just saying who the people are. And so that's the way that they knew that God had worked in her to get rid of that spirit. And we'll read verse 17, because 16 and 17 kind of goes together. And it says, the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, now listen to what she said. These men are the servants of the Most High God. Well, that wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
Which shown unto us the way of salvation. That wasn't wrong either. But that's not the rest of the story. But in verse 17 it says this, the same damsel followed and us, and cried out, and kept crying out. This the demon in her now saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Now the bondservant, this doulos, was not necessarily a testament to the true God, as the term was applied to Zeus, which showed, in their word, unto us the way of salvation. So you see, she said one thing, but meant another thing.
And the fact that she continually said it over and over and over again,
yeah,
kind of would bother people.
It bothered Paul fiercely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
common in demon possessions and those kind of things.
Oh yeah, it's.
It's a chant. It's like on. And
yeah,
on,
yeah.
On,
it's
on. Yeah.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
The chants and the. in saying the same thing.
Well, even though she'd say the correct thing, when you say it that way so many times, it's like a mockery.
Yeah, absolutely. And I go to 18, and it says, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned to the Spirit. I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." You see, this was the capstone of her being cleansed of this demon. The demon could not stand the Holy Spirit entering into her, had run the old spirit out. That's the way it is. Overcome the Spirit of God, not even if you have a bad spirit.
Greater is power.
And he says, and he came out the same hour. So it was probably pretty much immediate that this happened there in 18. Let me read my notes on 18. Says, and this did she, the damsel, many days. But Paul, being grieved or worn out by annoyance, and there's a great word for that. And it's diaphoniomai. Best I can say it. So, he was grieved, and he turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee. And that command thee in the Greek is para angelo. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it says, and he came out. You notice he denotes that it's a male.
Yeah.
And a woman. Okay. And he came out the same hour. Okay. So we're down to 18. How much, we got any more time?
It's 9:18. Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
Okay. Let's look at 19 then. Maybe we'll get down to 20 because that's all I got. And when her masters, verse 19 of chapter 16, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. So they went out there to wherever Lydda lived. They went to her place. They brought them back into town. Okay? So it says, and when her masters saw the hope of their gain was gone, because she couldn't do anything else. She didn't have any power anymore. The power of good has overcome the power of evil. And in God's plan, it always does. But sometimes it turns out to be something, you know. And it says, and the hope of their gains were gone. And I want to read you something that was in the notes. We're going to talk about, it says they caught Paul and Silas. They overtook them. And let me just read my notes. Perhaps the demons rent and tore her and coming out of her. as you find in Mark 9:26, and as you find in Luke 9:42, and as you find in John 12:32. When it happened to, after the supper, when, what was his name? I didn't even look it up. I thought I could come up with the keeper.
One that betrayed Jesus.
The 12, one of the 12. Yeah. So,
Judas, yeah.
Yeah. He says, they, talking about the masters, caught or laid hold on Paul and Silas. And it says they literally made what we would call today a citizen's arrest. Mm-hmm. Or a magistrate.
Yeah, I didn't think about the spirit or the demon tearing her or killing her. She might have come out with such force.
Oh, yeah. It probably just opened her up and it come out.
Yeah.
Because it didn't have nowhere to go anymore.
Yeah.
And like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't live in sin. And so a dead spirit's not, a bad spirit's not going to live there either.
Yeah.
So they had to hunt another place. They was like the guy at the, in the cemetery that they couldn't do nothing with.
Right. And obviously, in their mind, all hope of getting any money out of her anymore was gone.
Gone. So it was something happened that they couldn't.
They
knew it was gone. They couldn't do anything at all.
Irrevocable.
Okay. And it says, they literally made a citizen's arrest on Paul and Silas and drew them into the market place unto the rulers. And so, let's read 20 and we'll stop there. Now, there's another word here that I'm not sure that I agree with in English, but I'll just tell you about it now. It says, and brought them, they went into the marketplace with them, and he brought them to the magistrates. And that magistrates is plural. Well, they don't have to have but one magistrate. But they might have been more than one there. I'm not saying that, but I have no way of agreeing with it or disputing it. Yeah. Okay. Because one magistrate could take care of this. Believe me, I've been there and done things. Say, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our cities. Well, being Jews, if they'd been somebody else, would they just turn them loose? But see, they were Jews because they had the power of God with them. And so, therefore, they were saints of God in that sense. And so, it says, and brought them, Paul and Silas, to the magistrate, or magistrate, saying, these men, and that word is prosico in the Greek, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And that trouble there is in Tarion.
trouble their city. It was feared, evidently, that a riot was about to begin. And so that's the reason they wanted to carry him to the magistrate. And, of course, Paul and Silas, they probably had a defense for that because they were there on God's will and purpose. All these things happened on God's time period and in God's will, and it happened at the proper time, and everything went according to the way that God would have it to go up to this point. So here we are. That's probably a good place to stop. We got any time left?
It's 9:27. That's pretty good.
Well, we're getting a little better at it, I guess. But think about
it. Rob's at the clock tonight. It's hard to look and say we're...
Yeah. Well, think about this because, you know, there's lots of information passed on to each of us, to each other, with these verses, with 8 verses from 12 to 20. And we got 20 more verses to go for this thing to kind of come to a point here. And so...
It's funny, though, they didn't start the fight, but they ended it, and they're the ones that ended up getting in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, well, they're going to get out of that.
Yeah, the easy way.
I'll just give you a little hint. They get whipped by the jailer for the 40 stripes, save one.
Right.
This is one of the places that you're going to get beat. Paul says, oh, you done the wrong thing. You have messed up now. Whew. Thank you, Lord, for understanding. And so we'll just leave it at that. If you want to read on, you're certainly privileged to do so. But this is good stuff. This is stuff that you wouldn't normally get into to look at without having a purpose for it. But my purpose was like Lydia. She's one that Paul got to meet, that she really needed to meet. Now, the slave girl that had the evil spirit, he really didn't need to meet her, but he could show everybody else
the power
that he has, that he and Silas is involved in, and that through them, he can get everything straightened out here. So,
Tony McCurry also said the analytical lexicon that he has states that the word magistrate there in the Greek is strategos, is one, not multiple. It means one
magistrate.
Yeah.
Well,
or official, or governor, or magistrate. Singular, it's not plural.
It might be why our cousin got killed.
That could be.
It's King James. They may not agree on that. I don't know.
It's a singular word, not a multiple word.
Okay.
So yeah, you had a good point there.
So that's there's no ways you can really be, because so many things have come up there that you would almost have to be there in order to. But it's laid out pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
You get the idea by just reading it.
Luke does an amazing job of bringing it.
Of doing that. Yes, he does. And here we are. And, you know, sometimes if I'm going through some of this stuff, and you know, it talks about, and it came to pass, well, that's the hand of God at work.
Amen.
And I thank you for
being with me tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Pop.